Hello and welcome to Imperfect Parenting Podcast. We are here and excited. It's our first one, just you and I.
Season five.
Season.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So.
This is my favorite part. Just getting to sit here with you and share all our lovely nothings and wonderfuls. And I don't know. I'm trying to find the right words, but I'm sitting here with you. I'm just speechless, Brittany.
Oh, well, thank you yet again. We don't have a table between us, so we could play footsie.
We can play footsie.
That's new.
Your favorite.
Okay. We did have fun with Seth.
I
always
do.
It's always a fun kickoff with him. And, you know, it's just always good to have him around and all that. But we have lots of really fun topics in this new series and kind of talking through it. And I love our set. It's so pretty. You did a great job.
Great job, team.
Yeah. You are most of the team. You and Ashley.
I did a lot of it. Ashley worked really hard to make it happen. Yeah.
Yes. You create the things we need. Ashley makes it beautiful.
There we go.
That's what Ashley
Ben
does.
Just spends a ton of time building
this
in the garage.
Uh-huh. It's true.
It's true.
I make a mess of the house, and then Ashley makes it pretty at the studio.
That's it. And if you didn't realize it, we've invited Ashley to be a voice.
Yes.
So she, you don't see her ever, but she's...
Whoop, whoop.
She's here.
She's always been there. Background. I love it.
It's really so that you can hear her laughing when we're funny.
Yeah. At all the memes.
Uh-huh. Someone thinks we're funny.
Somebody thinks we're funny. That's it.
So that brings us to the meme.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for parents, especially that have little kids or can remember the little people stage.
Yes.
Because bath time feels like such a ritual when those kids are little.
Yep.
And I think it's because... they're a mess every day. They're out there in the dirt or the whatever they're doing. Their food's all over them. Like, you need another bath. Okay, get in the bathtub. And so here's what the meme says. The parent says this. Please try not to get any water outside the tub. Skip to the picture. And it's a large, looks like a great white shark jumping out of the water with water splashing everywhere. There's probably no water left in the bathtub.
It's preparing to do a belly flop back into the bathtub.
That's, yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what's
about.
Coming. Yeah.
It's not the shooting out that I'm worried about.
It's the landing back in the water.
The landing of when they turn your, you know, less than 2 foot deep bathtub feels like into their private belly flopping contest.
This reminds me of not so long ago. Our kids are older, and we're older at this point, but their bathtub was a mess, and so we decided to clean it. And as I was cleaning, some water did get outside the bathtub, which created a drip somehow. There was a hole somewhere in the flooring.
Yeah.
And it's coming through the ceiling, which means downstairs, there's now water coming in.
So you were the shark is what you're saying?
I was the shark this time. Dang it.
Yeah. I just remember when the kids were little enough to make a whirlpool in the bathtub because they could just, you know. I also remember one time coming in. I'm pretty sure that it was Adeline. Maybe it was Delaney. But they had drained all the bath water. You know, they were old enough to kind of be in there by themselves. And so I was going back and forth checking on them. And I came back in to check on them. And they had covered themselves in my body wash, like squirting lotion stuff or whatever it is. And so they were just covered in this slippery film and sliding on the side rails of the bathtub. Thankfully, there's no water, but I did have to,
such
we have
creativity.
To do a bath again.
Yeah.
So, children and bath time. We were never those parents that had our children bathe every single night, though.
That's true.
I was more of like, you know, that's your protective layer. That's going to give you a good immune system.
Got your immune system, yeah.
So,
your protective layer.
We're just building up, you
know. We have to scrape it off in a couple
days. I got to send you to preschool, so you need some kind of immune boost. Here, eat some more dirt. Okay, that's not the topic that we have, is how much dirt your first child eats compared to your third child.
I just love that you're leading a parenting podcast and talking about spoon-feeding your kids dirt.
Not
quite. That's what I heard.
Well, the first child to the third child always has a very different dirt intake,
exposure,
if you will. So, that's funny. But, all right, we are actually going to dive into the parenting styles.
Yep.
You know, that comes from, I talk about it in my book. I talk about it throughout my book, but mostly in the first couple of chapters. of my book, and I got to do a mom's group, and we dove into this a little bit. And I actually love talking about the parenting styles, and I think it just creates such awareness for what am I bringing, what's my default, and what do I want to switch to. And it's not, you know, our default and probably our upbringing, we bring not the best version, but it's what we know. And I don't feel like there's any shame in that revelation of it. It's more the choice of what will you do with this new information.
Yeah.
That's what how I view this. So
yeah, we talk a lot on here, and everywhere we go, it often comes up that we're talking about self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And this just feels like another tool, especially in this land of parenting and family, of I'm becoming more aware of where I came from, what I currently have, and then what I would like to get to.
Yeah.
And I think there's just power in being self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually begin to feel powerless, and even not even realize it, when I'm not self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
So Brittany's shared this message as well from stages.
Yep.
I don't know how many times.
So many times.
Great message, though.
I think the last run was like three or
yeah.
I think it was almost five times in a row, and I thought
in like a month.
Okay. All right. I need a break.
So there's some practice and some strength here. So tune in to what is your go-to default style, and then we'll get to
mm-hmm.
where we're trying to land.
So the authoritarian is my default, mm-hmm. and that's the first one I talk about. And that's the essentially, hi, my name's Brittany, and I'm a recovering rageaholic. And that is what I would bring to parenting is in my scared, stressed out state, I would turn into barking out orders, commanding the room, and I became the T-Rex, if you will. You know, I've seen these other funny memes. I think we've even posted. It's like the T-Rex from Toy Story and then the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. Yeah, I was mostly the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. And it's just in my that scared response, I go to trying to control everything and I get angry. And so I just, you know, fee-fi-fo-fum, here I come, better listen to me. You know, my way or the highway. And I just am trying to regain control and order and what feels like peace. And the way I go about it is I just don't seem to have a lot of consideration for everyone else's needs or feelings or what I am making them feel in my angry. But it's totally this response to me feeling powerless and me feeling out of control. 'Cause I didn't have a plan. And, you know, I would say that my mom was an authoritarian as well. So that's where apple doesn't fall far from the tree on this one. But it's, you know, I have had moments where I've completely violated my connection with our kids, you know, by the choices I've made because I feel scared. Yep. You know, it doesn't happen very often anymore, thankfully, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was the, you know, what your default response is. Mine just happens to be a sword. And here I come.
Come towards me.
Yeah. Come here. And I'm chasing them down the hallway with what feels like this weapon. Why would they want to come? Why would they want to, you know, tell me what's going on inside of them? Why would they, you know, they are being obedient out of fear, not out of connection or value for our relationship.
Yeah.
Which totally... Fear works. It is a tool that works. I mean, just watch humanity throughout all the years. Fear does work.
It's effective.
But it's not, it doesn't produce connection and vulnerability and trust. It really is, I hide from you.
Yeah.
And so early years, it worked because I was bigger. Thankfully, I changed it up before they got bigger because it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I would just have teenagers that hid their life from me, which is actually a really sad thought to think about as they enter teenage years or adult years now. So.
Yeah.
But that was my go-to. What is your go-to?
Well, let me segue like this.
Okay.
Because people probably already have some idea. If they've listened to our podcast or us share anywhere, they have some, they're already guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's two things you just said. That you said the motivation is often fear.
Mm-hmm.
and the desired outcome is peace. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually the same for all of them.
I would agree. Most people are looking for those things.
Yeah. And so just the way it manifests is different for all of us. Mm-hmm. Because my go-to style is passivity.
What?
Ta-da.
Did we marry each other as complete opposites?
We are a perfect fit. So, and a great balance for our kids. Just confusion. So, but that's the same components. Hmm. Is I think I go passive because I'm scared. I'm scared of rejection. I'm scared of doing it wrong. I'm scared of getting in trouble with my children or my wife or my...
It's mostly me.
Sure. I was trying to balance it out. Not point all the fingers at you.
That's okay.
But there's just this experience, I think, that is birthed from fear. But the desired outcome and the goal of going passive is to keep some idea of peace that actually isn't real peace. Because there's no love growing. There's no trust being built. It's just this idea or this facade of peace that actually isn't real.
The other thing I think about is you're trying to create peace, but you're not, and it's the respect levels. Mm-hmm. Like you, I would say the kids respect me because they're afraid of me. Mm-hmm. Where the kids, I feel like, didn't respect you because they didn't believe that you were gonna
follow through.
Have the hard line.
Yep.
You know, I had an extreme line and you had a blurred line. So, and again, what a great pair we made in the beginning.
It's true.
But that's the part I think about with the passive. That was your struggle with, all our kids, but I think that was the one that I remember you having to fight the most with.
And I remember sitting in an office one day with this couple. And they were struggling really hard. And this mother was probably passive, her go-to style. And I heard her say these words. It's just heartbreaking. But she said, I don't like my child right now. Mm. Like, oh. But that's where this ends up. Mm-hmm. When I don't manage my heart and actually change what was given to me or change my current understanding and belief system, then resentment sneaks in. Mm-hmm. And that pain begins to grow. And all of a sudden, this thing that I want to point somewhere, I'm pointing at my child, mm-hmm. who's the person that should be getting the best version of me and my strength, not my resentment and my pain.
Mm-hmm. I think about the passive. I mean, these are our defaults in parenting styles, and there are defaults in our communication styles as well. But
everywhere I go, there I am.
Yeah, right. I think about the component of being aware of your needs as well. You know, in my aggressive state, I was still aware I needed something and I was trying to figure out how do I accomplish that. And you needed something too, but the passive approach almost puts away your needs to give to the other needs that are louder, which is, again, why we made such a dynamic duo in the early years, is my needs were loud. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same with a lot of moms that come to me with exhaustion on another level is because they're not allowed to have needs because they've parented out of this passive place.
Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah. It just, I have to make a decision. If this is my parenting style that I'm going to live from is mm-hmm. passivity. Mm-hmm. I have to make a decision that your needs must be more important mm-hmm. because having that kind of demand on a relationship and being met with anything but acceptance and whatever I'm looking for.
Yeah.
If I experience rejection in any way, whether intended or not, mm-hmm. it just shuts me down and I'm like, I'm out.
Right.
Why would I have a need here?
Yeah.
Because I just experienced all the things I'm trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm. That place of being truly vulnerable, so scary.
Yeah.
it's funny. Vulnerability is a scary exposure when you're afraid of it and then how it manifests, like mine angry, yours passive. Right. But introducing the Mindset Tapestry, a game-changing way to boost your child's confidence and positivity. It's self-affirming mirror talk for kids, blending the affirmation tags and caregiver cards. It's easy to use and full of love. It strengthens the bond between caregivers and children. I love their mission, to raise a future generation of children to be authentic, purposeful, and to have a foundation of mental wellness throughout their development of their life and into adulthood. You can get a 10% discount by going to themindsettapestry.co and using the code BRITTANY10. That's BRITTNEY 10 at checkout. So go ahead and head on over to the Mindset Tapestry and get your 10% off today by using the code BRITTANY10. One that's, you know, we've probably both visited in different seasons is the permissive style of parenting. And today, I would say how I see this show up the loudest, that is heartbreaking for me because we are such a very loud voice when it comes to the need for being your home's leader. Mm-hmm. We talk all the time about you're the voice of leadership. You are that example. You have to grow yourself. If you're not growing yourself, then how can you expect your children to be growing and developing? I mean, we are... I'm trying to be as gentle as possible, and I'm probably not very gentle. I probably should be more not gentle because we are not getting it all the time here. But we have to be the leaders. So with this permissive style approach to parenting, that leadership role, we almost intentionally give it away. And we pick up the role of, I'd rather be your friend, your companion, your equal, your peer, because I am so afraid of my own level of rejection. A lot of this is the pendulum swing from one extreme to the other, where I had no relationship with my parent, or an incredibly controlling parent where I felt unseen and not valuable. So I go, I'm going to always let my child be seen and heard. But then it becomes this, I also want to be their friend. So as soon as we give away this role of leadership in our home, and we welcome in this place of friendship in that space, the void of leadership is present. And I think even from a really young age, if this becomes the practice in your approach to parenting, our kids go and fill that void in another way. And sometimes they become the leader. A lot of times I see, be at a restaurant and it's clear that the child is the leader in the family. The child sets the tone. Everyone lives afraid of them. Mm-hmm. Everyone lives in, we're trying to make you happy and accommodate to you rather than setting the boundaries. As they grow older, they might take that void and go to their peers and say, hey, you're a 15-year-old hormonal boy. You seem like you'd be a great leader for my life. It's my 14-year-old girl self. That's the tragic truth that happens when you choose to be a friend in the wrong season. And I do, as we've had now adult children, or child, I should say, just one, that season of friendship has come. Mm-hmm. And I welcome that, and I'm excited about that. Yep. But this is the season of friendship. This is the season where you are, she's paying taxes. She's got jury duty for the first time. I mean, there's a new level of, oh, yeah, I understand how that feels. I know. It's not fun, isn't it? Those moments shouldn't happen before they're 18, but they do. Yeah. So that's kind of the extreme version of that permissive. How do you feel like we partnered with the permissive place in our parenting? Because I don't know that we fully give away the place of leadership and try to be friends. But I think there was places where we maybe didn't take as active a role in leadership as we should have.
Yeah, I'm just sitting thinking about it. I'll answer your question in a second.
Sure.
Ma'am. But I
thank you.
I was sitting here thinking about, I think what leadership does is it actually creates structure in any environment you're in. Mm-hmm. If it's a business, a school, a home. You know, you walk in there and you're actually looking for some structure to figure out how do I control myself mm-hmm. in this environment. Mm-hmm. And the structure creates that boundary line for you. Mm-hmm. It's really helpful. If that's missing, the development of self-control and self-management isn't really there. So you have these children growing up not having built this set of muscles on the inside that doesn't get very well when they move on the outside of that. And I think for me, it feels like I was teetering between permissive and passive a little bit. But I think even when Delaney was 2 years old, I was like, we have a monster. There's a monster in our house.
She's just my mini-me.
How did it happen? I didn't say I have two monsters, but it's kind of what you said, so I'll go with you. But there's monsters everywhere. And I remember in the beginning, I was like, how do I just appease this child and just give her what she wants so she just calms down?
Mm-hmm.
Which never works for very long. Because she's quickly learning, like, ooh, when I do this, you give me that.
I'll become the leader.
Yeah. So follow me, people.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can see where it started there. I think that there's absolutely been moments in my parenting journey where that showed up throughout, especially her life.
Mm-hmm.
I think even with Lincoln, like he, that little boy, he's not little anymore, that young man, can be pretty stubborn.
Yes.
And I have to go reach in and go, okay, I'm going to show up as the parent I'm meant to be today.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to just give in and go, whatever, dude. Like just last night, we tell lots of
Taekwondo
stories around here. Because it's Lincoln's biggest learning area he has right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just last night, he's like, the sisters are doing something fun. Grandma's in town.
Yeah.
Looks really exciting.
Yeah.
I don't want to go work and get sweaty and get kicked in the head.
Yeah.
And I could feel myself going, oh, it's okay. And he missed Tuesday because we had a family thing happening. And and I just went, okay, this is my moment. I could get permissive if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I showed up with a challenge for him and said, buddy, there is a consequence for you not keeping your commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I believe about you. This is why we're here. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And he figured it out.
Yeah.
And what's so funny is I saw him at the end of the class. I said, how'd it go? He's like, it was great.
Yeah.
You had fun? Oh, it was awesome.
This is always him.
Yeah.
You know, he's quietly defiant, which he gets from his papa. You might know him. His name's Danny Silk.
Mr. Slick.
Yeah. That is, because I don't feel like you are stubborn.
I'm even quieter, but.
With my dad.
Like that, no.
My dad is the, you can't move him, and you feel like he was on board, and then all of a sudden you kept walking and he's not with you anymore. And you look back and you're like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Because he stopped. I mean, this is
Danny Silk is
actually
stubborn.
Happens. Like when we are walking somewhere and he's not ready to move on and he just stops and you're like, what? You're like 5 minutes behind us. And he's like, oh, I was reading something. I'm like, okay. All right. You could have said something, you know, or it's, you know, we're going to do the garden and he... There's just a million little moments where he is quietly defiant. We were doing the garden and I was thinking about him. He's sitting in the chair. My mom's doing a million things, asking him to help do all these questions. And he's just sitting there. And she's this busy piece. Like, no, right now, this is what I'm doing. So Lincoln has Papa.
He does.
There's a value to it in this deep conviction of, you know, in the good places, I'm not movable. Lincoln's still developing those, but he does have some of those for sure.
He does.
He's very protective of his sisters and all those things. Yep. And there are certain things that we can't barely talk about without him. It's not as quiet.
Justice.
It is. It is. That part is in him. But I think the permissive place, permissive for me has become louder with social media.
Yes.
Because there's so much comparison, there's so much almost question to, well, if that influencer is doing it or that parenting professional is doing it, then should I have to do it? I think that's the other place where that permissive style starts coming in that feels a little bit dangerous. And so I'm very much a big advocate for you should really be partnering with the King of Kings when it comes to your parenting. Like you've got to go into the place of we're supposed to reflect the Father. That's who we're supposed to be replicating, not some parenting guru. I mean, even the stuff that we say, take all that we say and then you go to the Lord and say, all right, where am I supposed to work on this?
What's for us?
What's for us? What? And, you know, there's all sorts of phenomenal resources out there. And maybe you're just like a fruit basket of stuff and you don't have to have just a loving on purpose basket. I don't, of course I love it and I'm biased and I think it works great and you should do it. But, you know, maybe you need some other tools in there and that's wonderful. As long as you're actually submitting it to the Lord and you're not taking the word of man as it. you have to go and do your due diligence of submitting this to the Father.
I think a different way to say what I hear you saying right there, which is so powerful, is this is not just another way to give up leadership. I'm not letting something else or someone else from the outside become the leader. I'm still the leader.
Yeah.
So I'm taking input. I'm getting advice. I'm finding strength on the outside. But it all runs through the filter of my relationship with heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That then that's what shows up, that we are still the leaders in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Not the child.
No.
Not the influencer.
No.
Not the cell phone.
No.
It's us.
It's us. Which, I mean, we'll talk about engaged parenting right now, which is what I think the ultimate goal that we are aiming for, and what that looks like. And I, when I teach this message, I always share this clip because I think it's fun. So we'll share it on the podcast for today. I went the route of totally being a parent, and I found a cartoon version of who do I think is the closest to the example of an engaged parent.
And if you're listening, you know who this
you know, person is. You know what this clip is.
Cartoon is talking.
Mm-hmm. All right, roll it, Ashley.
Simba, I'm very disappointed in you.
I know.
You could have been killed. You deliberately disobeyed me. And what's worse, you put Nala in danger.
I was just trying to be brave like you.
I'm only brave when I have to be. Simba, being brave doesn't mean you go looking for trouble.
But you're not scared of anything.
I was today.
You were?
Yes. I thought I might lose you.
Oh, I guess even kings get scared, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think those hyenas were even scareder.
Because nobody messes with your dad. Come here, you.
Oh, no.
I love it. If you didn't catch it, that is the Lion King.
Mufasa.
Well, Mufasa, I always tease everyone wants a daddy like Mufasa. I love the when I teach this, I show all these different clips that are kind of funny, and I am confronting some truth, and we're laughing at the same time. But this clip for me, you know, Simba endangers his life, his friend's life, completely disobeys his father. He breaks trust and ultimately scares the crap out of his parents. Okay? Like, I mean, this is kind of like your kid decided to take themselves to the Dollar Tree because it was close. And grandma gave me $2. I'm gonna march my way down there without telling you what I'm doing. I mean, if you put it in today's terms of what your child might do. But the approach of Mufasa is what I love, is this hand of it being assertive, being honest, disciplining, which discipling them through this process. There's not the angry authoritarian that is shaming, punishing, scolding, and belittling because I am so afraid. I mean, even in this clip, it says, I was afraid today. You know, like, that's the other part of this truth, is your life is so valuable to me. Like, I care deeply for you, and I'm going to show you my heart even in that space. I think the other part of I'm not permissive. I'm not going to minimize what it is that happened that was terrifying. The approach of, like, you know, just sweep it under the rug, like, you know, we're just going to be buddy buddy about this. Like, I'm not going to remove myself from leadership. So I think there's all the best components putting on display of what is a really hard moment in this space.
The part that I keep thinking about, and I've heard this clip thousands of times, feels like.
Yes.
Not thousands, but hundreds. And we talked in the beginning of this episode talking about the fear. That's often the motivator. And I just love how Mufasa, our engaged parent, says, I think Simba first says to his dad something like, but you're never afraid. Mm-hmm. He's like, I was scared today.
Yeah.
And I just think about just the power of that statement, that it's almost the same fear. It's the fear of being disconnected from my child. It's the fear of missing out on the heart-to-heart connection.
Mm-hmm.
But how it manifests is so different. because it's such a different place. It's actually trusting the Lord with this relationship. It's putting my heart on display for you to actually do something with, mm-hmm. rather than hiding it from you and hoping you figure this out through my different styles I'm bringing out. So
yeah,
I just think it's such an important piece to pay attention to.
Yeah. The other part that happens is with the authoritarian, we are searching for someone to pay. Mm-hmm. We are looking for someone to be held responsible, and we must punish so that we feel like we did a good job leading. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily what leadership is looking for the person to punish. So in this moment, there's repentance. There's this moment of cleaning up a mess. There's a place of reconnecting. There's an awareness of this, why this can't happen again. Mm-hmm. And I think there's moments where parents walk away going, okay, there needs to be a consequence. Well, sometimes the consequence is, you know, that I'm looking for repentance. And if it doesn't come, then I'm going to have to walk this out. But the other times is, when repentance happens and we restore the connection, that was the whole lesson.
Yeah.
And you don't need someone to die on the cross. You know, we don't need someone to be, you know, punished for this exchange. And that's the other part of the engaged parent, is we're looking for moments where there's repentance and we are reconnected and they walk away learning why this needs to be protected, yeah. rather than I need somebody to be punished. So that's why we love Mufasa. He just helps us set up a great example of what an engaged parent is. And that's ultimately, you know, there's, I think every stage of parenting comes with this expression, mm-hmm. you know, toddler, middle school, elementary, teens. I mean, you can keep showing up. The goal is that you return to being an engaged parent. You mirror the father. You are being assertive, you're being a leader, you're growth-minded, you have tools that mm-hmm. help you stay away from being a powerless person or a victim, and that's what you're bringing to this place of leadership in your home when it comes to parenting.
And all these tools that we talk about in Loving on Purpose, in the parenting books, in this podcast over and over again, mm-hmm. it's all pointing back towards helping you stay and remain an engaged parent.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the Imperfect Parenting Podcast. And we will see you guys
next time.
Next time.